welcome to another episode of the Last Chapter Book Club podcast. I'm Kate.
And I'm Corey.
And this week we're missing Joe, but that's okay because Joe is spending time with her family. They are celebrating Summerween a little early, and that's totally okay. But for now, you guys get us.
Yay, and happy Summerween. It's this weekend, depending on whether you do Friday or the 22nd, because it's, you know, either or.
No, that's fair.
If I could, I would probably celebrate it, like, all summer. A lie.
That's my secret. I'm always spooky. So, this week, we're about to do something a little different with the podcast. So, for the last season and a half, or season and a couple episodes, I should say, we've been dropping episodes every week for you guys on Fridays. And while we love doing that, we just wanted to come and say, hey, there's a lot of stuff going on, so we're going to switch up our schedule just a little bit.
Yeah, and it's not like there's anything like super big happening. It's just we're all individually having lives and going, wow, okay, and now let's read one book a week, no matter what, and then talk about it. And it's just, it gets to be a lot.
We don't get to fully enjoy the books as much as we thought we would. We may be fast readers, but we still like to sit and enjoy the books. So starting after this episode, we will be switching to a bi-weekly schedule, meaning after today, or I guess when you guys are hearing it, today's episode, we will be posting our we'll be posting our next episode on, it'll be the 4th of July. We'll be our next episode after this.
Mm-hmm. So,
which I'm glad you guys are having so much fun interacting with us, especially from what we've been seeing on our analytics. And we hope to keep that fun up and going, and we hope to give you more articulate and like well thought out responses to these books that we're reading, because we'll have time to digest it.
Yeah. And especially books like this that are just, they're short, but this one, I loved how short this one was, but just how much fun it was.
Yeah.
And how mad I'd get at the characters.
Oh, for real. It was great. And that takes us into today's episode. This week we read Summer Camp for Slasher Victims. And I don't know about you, Corey, but I have a whole list of references personally.
Oh man, this one was like riddled with them, and I was just like, ha, I know that reference. I get that. And I loved it. But real quick, if you haven't read the book, I will give you a little book back. And if you haven't read it yet, you should probably pause afterwards and go read it, because it's only spoilers ahead. Yeah. All right, Summer Camp for Slasher Victims by Matthew Mercer. Annie is the new counselor for her grandpa's summer camp, a camp named Camp Safewoods, a very unique camp for very unique campers. The campers have all been victims of horribly gruesome murder sprees in some way or another, and this summer camp is designed to help them work through their trauma and feel less like victims. And it does seem to help. Even most of the counselors are past campers, ready to be there for the next generation of slasher victims. What should be a place of healing quickly becomes a place of new horrors and bloodshed. Can Annie survive her own slasher story when the woods are no longer safe? And once again, if you haven't read Summer Camp for Slasher Victims, pause here and go read it, because only spoilers ahead.
Yes. So, when I started reading this...
Go for it.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that, like, I read the back of this, or like, I didn't read the back of this book because it was an ebook, but like, I read just the quick excerpt of it, and instantly I was like, oh, I think it's that guy. Like, 100%, like, right off the bat, I was like, oh, it's him. For sure it's him. And then I read the book, and I was just literally the whole time, I was like, nope, definitely. Like, I told my husband, I was like, it's this guy. It's this guy. I swear it's this guy. I need you to verify that I said that before I even started this book. And sure enough.
It was that guy.
Oh, yes. Whole time, I was just like, it felt so good. Because I was like, if it's someone else, I'm going to be deeply disappointed in myself to be able to predict who the slasher is.
No, for real. Because I think that was the point, is you were supposed to have an idea of who the slasher was. It was a cringy trope that needed to be put in there. It added to the appeal. And I was looking at the Goodreads, and I believe it's like a 3.7, 3.9.
That checks.
And I'm like, why was this a 3.9? And I honestly, I didn't look at the reviews because I was too lazy to. My assumption is they went in thinking it was like a full-on horror movie, like horror book. Mm. And it's like, nah, you gotta go in looking at it like it's Scream.
Yeah, it's super campy, and it reads like if it would be very easy to turn this into a movie. Like, in a good
they
way,
did.
Too.
It's
like,
the Fear
like
Street
movies.
It's the Fear Street movies.
Oh, it is a bit.
Like, Fear Street 1978.
Only watched the first of those.
So, that one has Sadie Sink in it, by the way. Mm-hmm. Definitely recommend watching it. It's very, it follows that whole Shady Side stuff in general. But it's got Sadie mm-hmm. Sink, who, if you've watched Stranger Things, is Max. And it's very Friday the 13th-esque. I don't know.
I love that.
It was really good. But
Jason's my boy.
Yeah, you were watching him on the 13th, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I was, so very rarely is June 13th actually a Friday the 13th, and June 13th is Jason Voorhees' birthday, and mm-hmm. I was reading this on that day, and we watched Jason Lives, which I think is the sixth one? There's 10 plus many. The new one, And I think it was the sixth one where Jason comes back to life and goes and attacks camp or goes and attacks camp as opposed to being like in space or Manhattan or something like that. Okay, that one's my husband's favorite, and I'll watch it.
Jason
and, like,
in Manhattan? Really?
No, Jason in space. Jason in Manhattan wasn't that bad.
I thought it was weird.
Like, okay, it is a little weird. Not like, quite as weird as the one where, Well, it's to put him in a city as opposed to like a small town and just see how he does. But like the one, because both Jason and Michael Myers get somebody with some sort of ESP / fire abilities / whatever. That they end up interacting with. And it's, those are my least favorite of them. I love slasher movies. And so it was really fun to read this book and like, be like, I get that. Like literally some of the scenes, like when they're hanging up the banner, that is from Friday the 13th, the first one, because that's when you meet the first girl. And like, I wanted to go back and check and see, because they describe their clothes, and their clothes are also very old 70s. School Friday the 13th 70s, like camper chic, where like, you know, it didn't matter if the whole sexism thing and being sexist wasn't, they just whatever, and so they all had tight pants on and
that's
tight shorts.
What threw me off was because first of all, So we have Mitch, who is the camp, who's the owner of the camp. And then we have Annie, who's his granddaughter. And he hands her these short shorts and a crop top. And I'm like, sir.
These booty shorts. And they give them to, and like the one goth girl, Jordan, gets the booty shorts and is just like, this is like asking for a sexual harassment suit. And like Mitch's face, like the description of Mitch's face, like it's the first time it occurred to him.
This audio was created with podcastle.ai.
Face, like the description of Mitch's face, like it's the first time it occurred to him that maybe 70s slasher chic is not the way to go for these kids with cell phones.
And, oh, no, well, I mean, they didn't have their cell phones, but.
Yeah, right. Okay. Look, okay. So part of, just for those who've ignored my warnings and are in this anyway. So they show up at camp and like literally the day, 2 days after being at camp, getting it ready for campers, all these camp counselors, and you meet everybody and you meet Mitch, and basically everybody's got a story of like some sort of horror they went through, and most of them, yeah, and how they survived. And then they take these people's cell phones away. They give them booty shorts and say, go take help. And there's like eight of them. And they're like, go take care of children. And so they
granted, they are adults. They are adults, but they're like barely adults.
They're like 18 to 21 max, which I mean, might be how old counselors are. But some of the campers are like 17. Like the age difference is like 6 months if for some of these people, which is hilarious.
And like, how are we supposed to respect you?
Yeah, well, one of the characters, Allie, when she keeps hitting on George, and George is supposed to be the super hot guy, and he's fully aware of it, too. Like, he's flexing, and he's all about, but, like, Allie will come on to him, and he's just like, you're a camper. No. Like, the difference is not that, like, age difference isn't that much, but for him, he's just like, there is a line between camper and camp and counselor, and I have zero interest in breaking that. And he just continues, and I loved that. I was just like, kudos to him for just literally being like, even though I am obviously portrayed to be like the guy who goes and has sex with other camp counselors and, you know, like Jason style, he's like, no, I refuse. I'm not going to abuse the fact that I am your camp counselor in any way, shape, or form. So, no.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't hit on the other, like, they, like, flirt, but even he doesn't, like, seriously, like, he at no point is, like, truly passing any boundaries. And I was like, I love this guy. And then he's murder, and I was like, yeah, that was come as soon as he, so again, if you haven't read the book, away, well, don't go away, obviously listen to our podcast, but
go away then come back,
go away then come back, and then listen so you can be like, yeah, so the killer, bum bum bum, the counselor, nope. One of the counselors used to be a camper, and he wasn't and he got put there by quote unquote accident. Like his mom didn't read the brochure. He kept getting bullied basically and treated poorly because he didn't go through a traumatic enough event. Yeah. And so they're like, you don't belong here, which, you know, fair. These are kids with trauma. They're not going to act well. They think this is a safe space for them. And then there's this guy who shows up and he's like, I don't have any trauma. I'm just here to do camp. And they're like, that's not what this is. Why are you here?
Jokes on them.
Right? So they aren't particularly kind to him. And it turns out that he does, in fact, have trauma. And he does, in fact, belong there and has been continually treated like he doesn't belong there. And he's got other stuff, too. And we can talk about that later. But then he grows up continuing to go to this camp and becomes head camp counselor and decides it's time to murder everybody. Let's go. And so Mr. Nick goes and he's just like, I've been planning all year for this. it's time to murder everybody.
Yeah.
And he just... Hold up,
because we got to talk about the fact that they are only here 2 days.
Yes. Okay, so they are there. So they get there. They fix up the camp on the first day. And then that night...
The camp counselors are there 3 days. And then yeah, it's camp two for the campers. There 3 days.
And it's day two for the campers. Maybe they go to sleep twice. Yes. It might be 3 days for the campers, but it is not long enough. Nick could not wait. He like blew his load early. Like he's just like, I have to murder everyone. Let's go. Like full on.
He's a one pump chump.
He got too excited. And is just murdering everyone right out the go. And
he's like a little chihuahua who pees when he's excited.
Yes! And he's just so excited. And to be fair, he knows this camp in and out. He is in charge of camp because Mitch is, I guess, kind of in charge, but mostly just getting high with other counselors. Mitch does not have boundaries. Well, it was weird because so Jordan and Max go off and she's like, by the way, Casey was totally going to break up with you.
And he's like, speaking of Casey, before you get into that, I want to talk about something. So we were talking about how I mentioned Scream earlier. So how I was pictured, so in the prologue, Casey, you know, is on her way, her car breaks down, this, that, and the other. You're like your total slasher movie moment.
And she's doing the dumbest stuff.
Well, yeah, but do you know what? It's like all I could picture was Drew Barrymore in Scream.
Yes.
Where it's like, what's your favorite scary movie?
I'm trying to remember the name of her character because it might have also been Casey.
I think it was Casey. Well, hold on.
Which makes it even better. that's her name. Oh.
It was, well, it just, was
like in my notes. Yeah, go ahead.
I can't think of it. Okay, in your notes.
In my notes, I have, hey, Casey, good luck. Because, like, I'm a dork. And, like, when there's a new character that I like, I'll be like, hi, person. And so I wrote, hey, Casey, good luck. And then as soon as she was just like, I'm going to sleep with Max before or after I break up with him, I was just like, bye, Casey. You're not going to make it.
So her name was Casey. Her name was Casey in the movie. Casey Becker. I love that. I know. It's like she was going to give it away to Max.
She was going to break up with him and then be like, but, you know, as a going away gift, let's have sex. And I'm just like, ma'am.
No. She was gonna fuck him and then dump him. That's what it was going to be.
Yeah. Well, and and she even mentions, like, you know, because he's put up with so much. And I'm like, ma'am, have some self-respect, please. Don't just go handing, especially in, like, slasher lore. Like, specifically the purity that you have.
The virgin always dies.
Well, the virgin usually survives. That's usually the one who becomes the final girl, is because she's not breaking these rules. And slowly over time, it does change. But in general, don't go have sex at summer camp. That is not the time. That is how you get murdered.
It's like getting a yeast infection, too.
That's fair.
I'm sorry.
So, but yeah, I literally, after she says that, in my notes, I have, oh, honey, I have low expectations for you.
Oh.
And then she immediately, and then sure enough, Dennis, the guy from her background story, and I hate that I wanted there to be like a bonus where everyone got their own back, like you got to hear what their background story is, because you only hear it for about half of them. And that was so frustrating for me because I wanted to know them all.
That's fair. So I actually have.
But her background is Scream.
Her
background story is her big sister's boyfriend, Dennis. is the killer, and their mom, the reason their mom wasn't there and wasn't around for all the things is because she was off having an affair. Oh, so there's so, the mom so having like an affair. Mom.
Yeah.
Yes. And, okay. So it has all these little vibes of Scream because he slowly picks off their friends and then they have a party anyway. And she's just the little sister who just happens to be present for this. So her sister was in the Scream movie, in the Scream story, basically. And her boyfriend is the one who was the killer. And
yeah,
it's just... And then she goes to a gas station, a dark gas station in the middle of the woods. And I don't know what your training was for when it came to like, when it came time to drive. But I know that the guy who ran our training for like driver's ed, he basically was just like, hey, if you pop a tire and you're in a bad situation or you're on the expressway or you can't get over or you're like, here's the thing you need to know. Yes, it will jack up your car a bit. You can drive on rims. You really can. And just get somewhere safe. Get safe. And then handle the problem. And so I guess she didn't have that because she's just like, oh no, I have a low tire. I'm going to go to this sketchy place in the middle of the woods. Oh.
This audio was created with podcastle.ai.
Going to go to this sketchy place in the middle of the woods all by myself with no cell phone reception and expect everything to work out. And I'm just like, nope, you're first. You are the sacrificial lamb, sweetie. Bye.
So, yeah, she was the sacrificial lamb. But, so I want to bring up one of my notes. Mm-hmm. So early on when we start talking about Annie, Annie, I have down, is Annie the last girl? Is Annie a final girl? And I was like, that's some for, because I was like, is she either going to be one of the first or is she going to be one of the, is she going to be the final? Do you know what I mean? Because I wasn't too sure about Annie to begin with, because especially when you start talking about when you get into Haley and stuff. Which Haley
loved that.
Yeah, how it flipped between camper and counselor.
Mm-hmm.
That was wild.
And it doesn't, I don't believe we get to hear Haley's background. We get to hear a bunch of others, but like Annie is coming in.
Hmm? Haley's dad is convicted of murder.
That's
she right. She never knew her dad, but she learned that he was in prison. He didn't know that she was his, and they became pen pals.
Yeah, and she doesn't think he did it. And that sounds so familiar. I wish there was like a bonus extras in the background being like, here's this reference and here's this reference. So if you happen to read this book, please comment on when this gets uploaded for any references you catch that we don't discuss here, because I would love to see what the references are that everyone else is catching. I caught one from The Burning. I caught a whole bunch of Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Well, that's obvious. I caught Friday the 13th, Scream, and Fear Street 1978.
Yeah. Well, and then you were talking about Annie, and Annie's coming in pure. And
yeah, no, Annie is like untraumatized.
And then Haley's coming in
semi-traumatized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also picked up Halloween references. Oh, like, yeah. You know, Michael Myers. I was trying to think. Camp Crystal Lake, Friday the 13th. There was a reference to I Know What You Did Last Summer and a reference to, what is the movie I'm thinking of? Texas Chainsaw Massacre. What was it? Billy. Was it his story of him and the butcher, like the old butcher shop? The old slaughterhouse?
That was Max's story. Billy's story was the clown one.
So Pennywise, it.
Yeah. And then Mark had a Jason one. Or Mark was basically Jason. And Mitch's story about the Bigfoot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like how that's not what happened and that's not how he lost his leg. And then at the end of the summer, Mitch finally tells his story. And I was looking forward to hearing all of these stories. But again, frickin' Nick had to go ruin camp and murder a bunch of people. And I didn't get to hear anybody's stories. I'm reading a book for stories, sir.
This is what you get.
Stop stabbing for 2 seconds.
This is what we get for having a loser virgin as the camp counselor.
Oh my gosh. And it turns out that he also had a backstory and he was in witness protection because his killer was still out there. They never caught her. And it was his big sis. Which is a very Halloweenish reference.
It is. It really is.
And having a sibling be the killer and going after the other sibling. But so when they go in to bathe for the first time in the showers, in the freezing cold showers, the more mm-hmm. I hear about this camp, like, I love the idea of it, but I was just like, does Mitch not have the finances, or is he intentionally making things hard so that people have to, like, rise above? Because cold showers in the middle of the woods sounds like a nightmare. That sounds like a whole night of shivering.
Well, yeah,
and he's just like,
it's summertime, so you'd think it wouldn't be that bad. Mostly it would just be muggy, you know, and that cold shower would have been nice. But like, where does this take place? Like, we know it's Camp Safe Woods is essentially like a Camp Crystal Lake, but obviously it gets cold at night still. And like, summer camp generally is only a month. Generally, if it's a sleepaway camp, it's generally 1 week to a month, somewhere in there. And I'm assuming if it's a 70s style summer camp, it's going to be a month.
Yeah. And that it's, well, and it wasn't that, just the idea of being like that cold for that long. The reference that I caught is they were talking about how I think George walked in on some of the girls showering. Mm-hmm. And he was like, it was an accident. Like it might not have been George, it might have been Max. And he was like, it was an accident. And there is there's this slasher called The Burning. Have you ever seen it?
If I have, it's been a minute and I'm trying to picture which one that is.
It's another one done at camp, and it's an old school one. One of my best friends, he has a poster of it because the slasher kills people with like hedge trimmers for the most part. It takes place at camp. It takes place at camp, and the showers are like basically these wooden cubicles out in the mm-hmm. like where visible, and very early on, the kind of sticky guy accidentally tries to scare some girls in the shower. And he's like, oh, it was an accident. I don't know what's, you know, my bad, I guess. But he's basically just trying to see some boobs. And
every teenager, regardless of if you're over 18 or not, wants to see boobs.
Yeah, so he's that, like, that felt like a Burning reference because that was one of those moments in the beginning, or in that book at least. And I love how there's little touches and there's all these people coming together to try and heal from all these horrific things that have happened to them. And then they keep making the same dang mistakes that they should have learned from.
See, that's another Scream reference, because there was the, I don't remember his name, the dude who was always with the in the beginning where he was like explaining how scary movies work, and like he gets up and he's like pointing at the TV, talking to the guys in the to the people in the living room, because this is the scene where Stu goes, "I'll be back."
That's
that
right,
iconic yeah. scene, and the dude who's talking like, "This is what happens in a horror movie. This is what goes on. This is what we can't do."
Yeah, that one is. Oh, gosh, I'm trying to look it up.
I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, but.
Which is
Jordan, yeah, no, Jordan was the one who was writing. So Jordan was rewriting, or not rewriting, she was writing a screenplay for a movie, for a slasher film, and she was using the names of the camp counselors.
To, you know, I mean that, like, her character's based off of Randy. Randy Meeks.
Oh,
there it is.
It was Randy. Yep. Okay. So
yeah,
Jordan,
her character
is
based off of Randy. Yeah. And she goes and she has sex in, first off, she brings pot. She kisses somebody else's, technically somebody else's boyfriend. And then she has
friend's
sex with
boyfriend.
Him. And
her best friend's boyfriend.
Her best friend that she knew she was gonna break up with him, and then the friend evidently couldn't go through with it because, you know, they don't know this, but she's dead. and then so she sleeps with him in a shed, and then goes out and skinny dips. And I was just like, girl,
that is so Friday the 13th coded.
Yeah, she just. And she knew it, too. She was like, this is a bad idea. This is exactly what somebody in one of my movies would do. And I'm just like, yeah, and that is why you got stabbed. She was low-key, she was one of my favorites. Her and George were my actual favorites in this whole book. Allie was annoying as heck.
Allie or Annie?
Allie. Annie was fine. Annie was the stand-in for everybody. She's kind of bland.
This audio was created with podcastle.ai.
She's kind of bland. Like, she's the stand-in for the reader, really. Because she's coming in, she hasn't had these experiences, she's making these assumptions about these people that you're supposed to also be making. And then...
And then it keeps switching between... I feel like if they had... stayed with Annie's, that point would have come across more, but because they flipped between the counselors and the campers' perspectives, like Haley's and Annie's perspectives, I don't know, it was necessary for the story, but it was also one of those, you know, that's my only real issue with the book is, like, while it was necessary for the story, if you had stuck with one perspective instead of hopping between the counselors and the campers, made two separate books.
It really lended itself to it feeling like a movie. And I think it really did try to feel like a slasher movie written out. So, like, when there's scene changes between characters.
Yeah. See, and this is where I'm going to bring up Stranger Things, probably once again. Probably not for the last time, because, again, Stranger Things is a horror-based show that takes place in the 80s, which, I mean, is not the 70s, but, I mean, the 80s still had some pretty weird summer camp shit. So, like, I don't know, it felt like, especially when you get into season 3. So season 3 of Stranger Things. Have you ever watched Stranger Things?
Yes.
I'm assuming so. Okay. So yeah. Stranger 3, they've got the Scoops troop, and then you've got you've got the party.
Yeah.
So y'all are out, like, they're fighting Russians. They're over Steve and Dustin are fighting Russians, and then you've got Lucas and Mike and Elle who are fighting the Mind Flayer. and shit. And it just, like, it felt like when it all came together, that's how this happened.
Yeah, it felt a little bit split up. And then they all
wrapped
end up working together. Yeah, and it wrapped up so fast. Like, I loved that this was a short one just because of, like, reason, like, the same reasons we gave. Like, we have been churning through these books as fast as we possibly can, along with having just, you know, crazy lives. And this one was short and sweet, and I loved that. But also, I could have probably read another 100-150 pages of this, where we get to hear everyone's stories, where more creepy stuff happens, where, like, maybe Nick waited a week. Like, just a week. Yeah. I want to hear, like, and then the way people responded to the bear trap.
No, okay, so I was actually going to bring that up. I was going to bring that up because I remember my question of asking where they were. It was California, because they were talking about bear trap laws in California.
Yes.
Also, what was that? Was that a reference to Saw?
The bear trap?
The bear trap.
Let's see.
Or
Jason uses a bear trap in one of the movies, but I know that bear traps get used decently often.
Or could it have been like, I'm trying to think. It's not Texas Chainsaw, but I mean, okay. House of 1,000 Corpses. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't. That is one of those ones that I went, oh, no. I don't really like Rob Zombie movies.
That's fair. I personally can't watch it anymore, mostly because I watched House of 1,000 Corpses. Like, I'd seen it before. I watched House of 1,000 Corpses with my husband, and then the next day I had come down with a flu so bad that I was paralyzed. Not really paralyzed, but like,
oh my gosh,
sleep paralysis demon moments. Like, I couldn't move. I was hallucinating. And if you've ever seen House of 1,000 Corpses, Sherry Moon, which is Rob Zombie's wife, her laugh in that. Mm-hmm. After this, I need you to go and, like, text me and be like, oh, holy shit. But straight up.
Yeah. Well, it is one of those things. Go ahead.
I was about to say, I couldn't move, and all I could hear was her laughing in my ear.
Ugh. Well, I love, so, oh, I believe that might be what it's from. And Rob Zombie's one of those people, like, I see, like, little info things on him and, like, his house or him talking to his wife. Like, I see him and I'm like, he looks exactly like some dude I would hang out with and, you know, and talk about movies and things like that. But then I watch one of his movies, like, I tried to watch the Halloween ones.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I mean, yes. Oh, gross.
Should he have done it? Now, if you, okay. So when he does his own stuff, you know, not like reboots like he did with Halloween.
But yeah, it gets a little,
it gets iffy.
It's a particular kind of ick. That like with gore, I'm fine with, but there's a certain kind of ick that he does with his movies that I'm just like, this just isn't my cup of tea for bloody, gory slasheriness. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's definitely different with his original movies, but it's still really gory. But they use a lot of the use of traps in the, I believe the whole series is called The Devil's Rejects. Mm-hmm. The whole Devil's Reject series, like, you know, Captain Spaulding, things like that. I don't know. That was just, some of the scenes were kind of like, And then you had, like, you get to the end when you realize who the killer is, and you're just like, God damn it. We get a villain origin story. We get the villain monologue, which I actually really appreciated the villain monologue.
I like a good villain monologue because they are useful. I think you just can't help yourself. I think you spent so much time, like, especially for going back for Nick, he probably worked on this all year. He's been planning this for so long, and he's been just holding all of this stuff in, as opposed to like figuring out a way to kind of let it out. He just held it in until finally he was like, I'm gonna murder everyone. And he has to have his little monologue at the end. And I was just like, he could not help himself. Bless his heart. Or maybe not. Maybe don't bless his heart, honestly. Although his death.
That was.
Was just. I liked that. But the marshmallow. Ugh.
Very Game of Thrones, weirdly. Only because all I can think of is when Khal Drogo drops the bowl full of melted gold on Daenerys' brother's head.
Yes, it's like that, but with marshmallows. Which yeah. I appreciated because there's this theme of marshmallows throughout the thing, because Mitch has this this stuff about marshmallows, and Annie doesn't like marshmallows, and then she does the like one liner at the end about marshmallows. Fucking let me look it up.
It was like, yeah, I hate marshmallows. Yeah, no, I wrote that down actually. It was where's it at?
Yeah, it's just I hate marshmallows.
I hate marshmallows, yeah. Also, can we talk about the fact that where the fuck were the real adults the entire time? Like, I get it. At the end, they were all dead or being killed or attempted to be killed. But where the fuck were the adults the other days? Where was Betty?
Where are all the adults, period? Because, okay, look. You can't just have three adults. Like, I get that the camp counselors are technically adults, but you have a ton of kids here. A ton of kids with trauma who are acting out and dealing with their crap. And you have Mitch, who has one leg and is in a wheelchair in the woods. And I'm sorry, that's probably not, I mean, unless he's like Superman with the muscles in his arms. He's not going anywhere. He's not being super helpful except to talk to these kids. And then you get a nurse and a lunch lady. And that is who you have. And that is it. And that is not enough to run a meat camp.
And a bus driver.
But they go away.
He does go away.
And so, like, why are there only three actual adults here? Why are the rest of these teenagers? Or just barely out of being teenagers? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing, Mitch? The whole time I was like, Mitch, I don't think you thought these through. And at the end, they're talking about like what the plan is now, and the plan is to just start the camp back up again, and Mitch is going to change some things, like, you know, run background checks. And I started laughing so hard because that is some of the most basic things you do.
Especially in this day and age, it's wild. So I kind of want to share some of my notes that I find kind of funny. So one of my notes says, screaming at a summer camp due to a death. How original.
Right.
I kept thinking of like these like sarcastic things because I'm like, what the fuck? Horny young adults. Ribbed for her pleasure.
This audio was created with podcastle.ai.
Adults. Ribbed for her pleasure. Ugh.
Oh my gosh.
The fucking condoms.
And that she was so impressed by the idea that he took the time to pick ribbed for her pleasure. And I'm just like, for all of these girls, and maybe it says something about the author, just understanding how naive young girls are, or maybe the author thinks lowly of them. But I was just like, honey, you are more worth more than just ribbed for her pleasure. Like, you need more than just some guy who is sleeping with you right after he was planning on sleeping with his girlfriend. Broke my heart.
I don't know. I had another funny one. Where are the adults? Oh, there's the adults. Like, literally two note points. It's like, where are the fucking adults? And then it's, there's the adults, dot, dot, dot.
One's in a car, one's incapacitated, and one's dead in the nurse's office. Just, I have one that says when George, because Nick is going off on his own, he's like, here, I'll call the police. And I was like, that is such a smart move, Nick, because you're not going to call the police, are you? And then the phones are all dead. How do you get the phones to all die? It's been 2 days and they've been off. How are they all dead? What?
No. So what the phone said. So he got rid of all of the cell phones. He had the key.
Yeah, and when they found them in the bag, because the younger ones, the campers found them in the trunk of the car where they also found the lunch lady. And they found all the phones, and the phones were dead or near dead, and only one of them was on long enough. And I'm sorry, that is not how cops would handle this situation. They wouldn't be like, okay, well, you go ahead and hang up, and we'll send people as soon as we can.
What?
No, 911 responders are pretty good about, you know, keeping you on the line.
Yeah. You do not hang up that phone. You are on that phone until cops and EMS come on the scene. And I just, whew. But the one thing I did is when George, who again is one of my favorites in this book, George hands Nick his pocket knife that he's not supposed to have. And he hands it so that Nick can protect himself, which, you know, LOL. And I wrote down George dies by his own pocket knife, bet. And that's the same one where I was like, LOL, Nick is quote unquote calling the police, and then the line has been cut.
So see, it was always like there that it was Nick, but I was like, well, maybe they'll turn around and we'll get a cool, like also different plot twist. But I mean, Nick being like, this whole thing makes sense kind of thing. I was thinking Neil, because Neil was fucking weird.
Neil was my backup because he was literally, I think he was asleep most of the time.
He was like a fucking sloth.
Yeah.
Guy did nothing.
And Nick had no problems killing him. And he was just, oh man.
Neil, he just had that look of, Neil look, I've been impaled.
Hey, Nick, the, how does he say it? He was like, Nick, I think the killer is nearby. And Nick is like, I mean, yeah.
He's like, no shit.
I will say that even knowing, like, not truly knowing, but expecting it to be Nick from the get-go, it was a lot of fun to see all the little things that he was doing. Like, he's like, oh, he's in the back snoring. Surely he is just completely asleep. And just, he would just disappear to all the time. Oh.
Yeah. I also wrote down, if Allie and Annie didn't have a story before, they sure do now.
You know what it like, my cousin.
It gave us the Final Destination vibe.
Oh, like if you haven't had trauma, you're about to?
Yes. Like, that was Haley and Annie's issue, was, like, they had that Final Destination trauma.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is fun in a place that is full of children who have been through slasher situations in this world where evidently we just have a ton of slasher situations. But I haven't had a slasher situation, so I'm fine, right? And I'm just like, oh, honey.
You just jinxed yourself. That's like a very children. I also kind of got a Children of the Corn on a rare occasion. Just like the way that it was discussed. It wasn't like
they talked heavy about there.
You know what though? Think about it though. So all of the adults, the three to four adults that were there, gone. It's run by older teenagers, essentially.
It's not.
Is that not Children of the Corn?
A little bit, because they had, like, once you became, I think, I think once you hit 16 or whatever, something happens. It's been so long since I've seen that.
So, once you hit 16, they would make you and, a girl and a guy, do it, and then, have a baby, and then they would, send them off in the field and kill them. Sacrifice them.
Holy crap.
Sorry, I really like Children of the Corn.
So when me and my best friends growing up would act a fool, my Aunt Tina would call us the Children of the Corn. Y'all are being the Children of the Corn. Come here, Children of the Corn. So every time, and I used to have really, really blonde hair when I was little. And so she would call us that all the time. And so every time I hear Children of Corn, I'm just LOL, I'm a child of the corn. It's fine.
Anyway. All I can think of is little boy from that movie. Can't think of his name. Little brunette who wears the fucking hat. The leader.
Malachi?
Yes. But no.
Oh, man.
Well, this book was definitely a very fun read. And it was very nice to have that kind of break. It obviously it was supposed to be a horror comedy situation, but I'm it was a nice palate cleanser.
Yeah, it was just spooky, and it's the perfect summer, just a fun little summer murder read, slasher read. And I enjoyed it. I heavily enjoyed it for what it was, especially. It was fun. It was just a fun little bloody romp.
It was, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I want to find more like these, but I don't know, I'm always afraid to go looking for books that are similar to other books, because I want that kind of trope thing going on, and then everything else disappoints me.
Yeah. Well, if any of you listeners have books that are similar, that have a similar campy, slashery vibe, please let us know. And next time, so in 2 weeks, because we're going bi-weekly, in 2 weeks is a much less fun little romp through the woods with the troop.
Yes, definitely. We're sticking with that horror theme. We still love a good romance. We will still come back with a good romance. However, I think we're finding our stuff with horror and thriller. It's definitely keeping our attention more than a lot of the same thing over and over with the dark romance community.
Yeah, and at some point over the summer, I'll be doing a trip through Italy.
Yeah.
With books. What are they called again?
Because
I was making my summer TBR, and I was just looking up summer romances just for something, to kind of be a palate cleanser for all of the horror that I read. And so it came up One Italian Summer, and there are 4 books called One Italian Summer, and they're all written by different authors, and I assume all about different things, but except obviously that the girl goes to Italy. And so I'll be reading those this summer and reporting back to which Italian summer is my favorite and which one was, not so great and stuff like that.
So make sure you check out our Instagram for Corey's reviews on those. Speaking of, make sure you follow us on both Instagram and on TikTok to get further updates. We appreciate you guys listening in, and we can't wait to see you guys next time. And that, again, 2 weeks. See you then. Until next time.
Bye.
This audio was created with Podcastle.ai.